Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Welcome to the Success Is Podcast, where we delve into the stories of remarkable individuals who have carved their paths to success in unconventional ways. I'm your host, Phil Portman, and today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Logan Hughes, a visionary entrepreneur who epitomizes the fusion of creativity and business acumen. From freelancing and web design to ultimately becoming the proud owner of a thriving franchise, the High Digital Marketing Agency, Logan's story is a testament to the transformative power of perseverance and vision. Today, we will have the privilege of delving into Logan's mindset, strategies, and experiences that have propelled him to such heights. Thank you for joining us today, Logan.
Phil, thank you for having me. That was an amazing intro. Make me sound a lot better. So I appreciate that, man. That's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so let's kick it off. What does success mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Having some time to think about that, ultimately, and we talked about this previously when we had our first call here, what does success mean to me? It's more about the impact that I'm making, not only in my community, but others, and, you know, gauging the success of how many people that I can make an impact on, whether it's personal, in business, providing, just being of service to others. That's sort of how I'm gauging that now. And I think slowly but surely it's sort of getting there. But, you know, we have a lot of great clients that love to work with us, and not only making a bigger impact on them personally with a lot of the talk that we have around mindset and certain things along that way, but definitely in their business, right? Because, you know, marketing agency, we're helping them out with a lot of different marketing strategies. So seeing them succeed, seeing them being able to go on trips with their families and stuff like that, knowing that a lot of that comes with the work that we're doing to kind of help them out in the business is that's really what success means to me. Ultimately, is the impact that I'm making and just being able to serve others at a higher authority.
Awesome. Yeah. Can you walk us through kind of your career trajectory from graphics design to franchise owner?
I will try to give you the short story here. You know, it was, I went to school not knowing what I wanted to do. I just knew that I was a creative person, right? And my father and my parents were like, you know, got to go to school. You got to get a job, 9 to 5 type of thing. And of course I didn't have anything else going on. So I was like, sure, followed suit. And so I got to college. They're like, what direction do you want to go in? And I was like, well, I'm a creative person. They're like, graphic design. Sure, let's go. So, you know, 5 years later, I graduated school. I, you know, did 5 year out instead of the four. But after that, I got lucky because I really, my cousin was working in Boston at the time, and he was in medical device sales, and he was growing his business. I think at the time there was just him, his partner, and maybe two other reps. So he needed some extra help doing some leg work of running sets into the hospitals and checking them in and so forth. And lucky enough, that turned into a full-time job. And, you know, 7 years later, I was still there. And I learned a lot during that time. And I would never talk bad about anything there. I learned so much about what it takes to run a business. But yeah, 7 years later, it got to the point where I was basically like, I my soul was like being sucked from my body. I was stuck behind Excel sheets all day and doing something that I just wasn't being fulfilled in. I wasn't helping others. So I knew I had to make a jump, and I saw a quick Ty Lopez video on Facebook that was talking about social media management. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. You know, I can create things for people and still be creative. That year, just to kind of go back into the mindset part of this, the last year I was there, I wrote every day in my journal, you know, I'm going to leave my 9 to 5 job and start my own business. And I wasn't really sure about what that was, but every day for a year. So along that year timeline, I'm learning everything about social media management, Facebook ads, Google ads. And then I fell in love with website design, and that's sort of where everything led off. But towards the end of the year, January comes around, and I didn't make the move. I was kind of scared, you know, comfortable where I was, but I was just kind of nervous. But then again, my boss pulled me into the office with his partner and said, "Hey, Logan, your job's being phased out. You have a couple months to kind of figure things out." And that was literally like, wow, you know, the universe or God, whoever, is like, "Logan, you've been asking for this. This is the right time.
We're you giving need to you make the move. Boot. Yeah, you gotta go.
Giving you the boot, man. Giving you the boot." And it was just, it was literally like, I just remember it, man. It was literally like to the week of when I first started writing in the journal, man. So it was just a really weird coincidence. And I was like, you know what, this is the time. So I jumped all in, started doing freelance work. And here we are several years later, full-time franchise owner. So it's been a crazy ride.
That's cool. I love it. So tell me about the journal. You talked about you were writing in the journal. Tell me about what you do with that.
Yeah. I forgot who mentioned this. Joe Dispinoza, I think his last name. He was really big on, affirmations and manifestations. And during that period, I was just grabbing whatever I could or learning anything I could around mindset and affirmations and everything. And we'll bounce back and forth with a lot of different people who are doing different things. But I found this one strategy that I felt really, really worked. And it was, you know, obviously we have some affirmations or manifesting and we're just, you know, saying maybe the mantra or something in your heads. But what I learned was to write it in the notebook and then you want to run your finger across it, saying it again, and then say it again, but internalizing it, just feeling what it's going to be like to be in that position of, you know, the car you're going to drive, what you're doing with your family, just really internalizing it and doing that three times. So you write it three times, hover your finger, and then say it three times around. That's really what I felt better to me. I think I'm definitely more of a visual person, so writing it is a good thing, but just the feeling. And then I think the biggest part is internalizing it and just feeling what it's like to be there. And it just incorporates all four senses. So that was really a strategy that I did. I mean, I'm sure everyone else has different things they're doing and, you know, whatever feels good, I think. But I think the internalizing component of this is really the thing that actually hopefully makes it happen.
Yeah, for sure. And worked for you.
Yep.
I guess part of that too is probably your mindset. I mean, and some people would be getting booted from a job and be like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" But you had almost like already prepared yourself for this and saw this as a great opportunity, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I was lucky in that instant. You know, I wasn't, you know, luckily I had this side hustle thing happening and I was sort of preparing for that jump off point. So I was really lucky. A lot of people don't have that, you know, they're, you know, could be laid off tomorrow without anything happening on the side. So I look back on that and I was lucky enough to be able to air for whatever was coming my way. So I think that's probably what helped with that confidence, because when that time came, I was all in. I was like, you know, this is what's happening here. There's no plan B. I'm going to make this happen. And luckily I did. So yeah, the mindset component of that was necessary. And a lot of that stems from having a major support system. Again, incredibly lucky to have, you know, my wonderful, beautiful wife who was just like, "You're going to make it happen, dude. You're like, I got you." And then my family was the same way. So having that really, really helped make that jump and go all in.
Yeah, that's cool if you had that from family. I know a lot of times, you know, families can be kind of concerned about you leaving the 9-to-5 world and going into, you know, your own thing, but they were supportive of that, huh?
Yes, they definitely were. And it's funny too, because, you know, my dad and my dad, you know, worked a very corporate job, 9-to-5, and, or I should say probably like 7-to-7, you know, so nothing entrepreneurial ever stemmed from my family. So, and it didn't dawn on me till later in life. I think later in life was maybe like 27 ish or 30 or something along the lines of that when I first made the move here. I didn't realize later till that's something that I wanted to do. Now, looking back at it, I could see it, because I was bouncing job. If you name a job out there, I probably have done it. And it wasn't until after college that I kind of had this 7-year stint of something. But yeah, I think the one pushback I did get, you know, obviously from my parents of being like, "You got to have a 9-to-5 job," was the insurance, the 401k, all that good stuff. So That was a big thing. At the same point, it was just my wife and I. I didn't have a family yet. So it was just on us, and hopping on to grabbing some insurance. The marketplace was what we had to do, and we made it happen. So, and it was just a good timing. No family yet. I was still young. I was still kind of, you know, ready to make something of myself. And that was the perfect time, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I it's interesting you mentioned that finding the marketplace insurance, because when I was able to pay for that as self-employed or as an entrepreneur, like that was like my defining moment, because I was always scared of like not having like the health insurance, you know, and leaving the 9-to-5 and losing that.
Yeah. So
when I had that, I was like, all right, I've made it.
It's so true. I was saying, wait for me. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So, can you talk a little bit about how you navigate any challenges and setbacks that you've experienced along your entrepreneurship journey? You know, specifically, oftentimes in our entrepreneurship journey, we hit these what could be a roadblock for somebody else, and they say, you know what, I'm out. You know, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, and things like that. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on how you move past those and make more of a speed bump than a roadblock.
It's a great question. Two things. I think if it's, you know, as entrepreneurs, business owners, we have fires to put out daily, right? So it's recognizing if there's small fires that need to be put out, that we do it head on. And that's something that I've learned over several years that I'm not really good at, is the confrontation that takes to run a business. Like, you know, just right now we're going through a situation where I just found out one of our websites is down, person changed the hosting. So dealing with the owner being like, why is my website down? So those small fires, right? And just kind of talking through it, working it head on and going forward with that, just being present and whatnot. I think the bigger part of that though is when, you know, there's major issues with personal life or business, is to go back to the why. Why am I doing this in the first place, right? So if anyone's listening out there and you have a business and you don't have a why written down on paper, that just when you read it is going to make you emotional, then you should be doing that. You should be doing that right now. So I go back to my why when any other big things comes up. You know, there was a couple of situations that happened a couple months ago where, to your point, you know, I was like, is this really worth it? And ultimately, you know, looking at my why again and reading it over, it is. And that just gives you a lot more. It's that emotional feeling again, you know, is giving you back to why you started this in the first place. And it's incredibly important. So yeah, two things. I think ultimately it's just meeting small fires head on and making sure that everyone's happy and taken care of, that you're doing the best you can. And the bigger fires, the things that ultimately could change the landscape of your business or personal, is to go back to the why of why, just why you're doing this in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's phenomenal. I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday about that. Like, why are you doing this? Right. Like, what's the purpose of this behind it? And if you can't answer that, then don't do it, or figure don't out what your why is and get into something else. And
for sure,
you know, see people and they have these ups and these downs and these ups and these downs and stuff. And they struggle with figuring out the why behind it. And I think it all starts with that. And 100% agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you talked a little bit about it, but the different hats that you kind of wear in entrepreneurship, and going from, you know, where you started to growing a team of 150 individuals, you kind of walk through the different hats that you've had to put on along that journey.
Yeah. I mean, there was a big transition from the freelancer thinking I was a business owner role to actually joining a franchise and having to be worrying about P&Ls and my books and everything that goes along the way of that. So that was probably my biggest thing. I mean, I am very much a creative person. I love that sort of sales role. You know, I love being that, I guess, a little bit of a visionary, type of thing. So when it came down to being like, okay, Logan, you got to worry about financials now, that was something I had to take a really hard look at and spend some time understanding it. So that was probably the biggest thing. And now I'm that's all set. But now I'm, you know, obviously having to work within the project management space, you know, managing clients' expectations and communication and setting up calls and everything like that. So there's multiple hats that you have to wear. For me personally, the two biggest things certainly was a financial piece, understanding P&L, getting it on time, understanding my numbers and the KPIs, massively important. And then the project management role as well. I don't necessarily like it that much, but I understand why you got to do it and you got to do it well. That's really everything allows the customer to feel like they're being taken care of and obviously fulfilling services and getting them what they need. So those were the two of the biggest hats that I've had to wear. Another thing too that I'm kind of finding out a little bit more as I'm going into this personal branding world and getting on podcasts is that leadership component to it. Again, I never really thought myself as a leader. I was always really good team player, but having to step into that role of leadership, communicating better with the team internally, my clients, and you know, being someone that at some points maybe just acts like they have the answer, but ultimately I think I'll find it out, you know. So it's that leadership position too that as I'm in this to year two, year three is I think the next transition that I'm going to be working through is that leadership role.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Especially going from a freelancer to, you know, running employees and then you start taking on other things like the podcast and other things, mm-hmm. and you have to start delegating more and things like that. So really start growing as a leader.
Yeah.
So shift gears a little bit and talk about technology. I mean, especially we're at a time where you have things like blockchain and AI and all this stuff. What role do you think technology plays in both entrepreneurship, but also marketing? So I'd like to hear a little bit on your thoughts on technology and marketing and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is AI, obviously, especially within the marketing world. How can businesses utilize AI? What they should be looking out for. That's something that I'm continually trying to learn as much as I can, because it's just inevitable. And you see everything from the ChatGPTs of the world and, you know, everything that's happening with that. It's really amazing. I will say what I've seen from a marketing perspective that works a little bit more on the SEO side of things is that a lot of businesses trying to create a lot of content using AI for like blogs or service pages. And they're finding that after they do it for several, like a month or so, they're seeing a dramatic drop off in engagement and in traffic to the website. Because Google is always all about user experience and really great quality content. And they know if you're using AI for your blogs or your service pages. We had an incident where a good friend of mine runs a really big SEO agency, created this amazing post, and he was seeing a high trajectory of when they were creating really quality content. They let him go for some reason, I don't know. They started doing AI content blogs and just a dramatic drop off. And actually Google like almost like locked their, I want to say locked their account, but their any type of content that they come out is not getting approved. So we're in a really bad position. So with as much as AI can help you out in terms of framing blog posts or creating a template based on any type of content, it's great. You have to have a human component of this. And I kind of love that, like Google's, I think one of the things that they're doing okay in is that component. I really think that as we move to more of the AI world, that being as human as you can is really going to make a bigger difference, not only from marketing, but for your personal brand. So again, from a personal branding standpoint, you know, it's been a massive help. And as much as you can position yourself as a leader, create a lot of great videos of yourself and showing that personality of not just yourself, but your team in the workplace, your technicians getting on camera, that type of stuff, making sure that you have personal pictures on your website, is kind of something that's going to separate yourself from your competitors. Because while they're moving to AI type of world, which I also love, don't get me wrong, like in terms of AI, the booking mechanisms and stuff like that, like, you know, on the website where they can just book leads for you all day long, love that. But I think there's a separation between what AI can do from a personal branding message, and that has to come from you. I know personally when I go on Facebook and I see a post, I know like this, if it's
oh, absolutely. If it's from AI, right? For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone does. Everyone, yeah. I think everyone sort of recognizes that now, just how short it's been out. So you just have to be authentic. And, you know, it's a little bit of a battle. But yeah, certainly there's opportunities to use that for templating out blog posts or costs or anything, blog posts or service pages, so forth. But yeah, I'm all about being authentic, and that personal branding is a good part of it.
When you're online, you can 100% tell, especially with like an image is created by ChatGPT, you know exactly what it looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. I've had this thought lately that I think there's going to be a heavy demand for more raw content because everyone's getting this AI looking polished stuff and it all looks the same, and you can only flood the internet with so much of it, you know? Yeah. Whereas when I posted like videos and other content that's raw, unedited, you could tell it's not polished. It's performing significantly better than some of the really polished AI content. So
I agree, and I've been dabbling about writing a book about something along the lines of, you know, how to put the human back in marketing, just because there's I just see the personalization. I mean, to your point, I mean, we're just fed with a lot of spammy stuff all the time. I mean, you know, fake gurus out there, spam emails, that type of stuff. And, you know, I think there has to be something for not only a marketing agency, but a business owner to be able to separate themselves from what everyone else is doing. And that is personalization, just being authentic with your audience. So yeah, to your point, it's so funny. Some of the posts that you put out, they're like, oh yeah, I think this is going to be good. Just hit send. That does best than, you know, going through this process of, you know, spending an hour on creating a post. It might not do that well, but that's the authentic part of this, I guess. And people just can feel that even if it's through the screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it goes against everything, you know, we've been doing for years in marketing, but I think AI is the shift in that. I mean, I'll literally post a video of me just walking, talking on it, and it's performing significantly better than one that we're spending hours on, you know, editing and crafting. And I think there's going to, sure. I think as we move through this, there's going to be a more of a demand for that kind of look, because it is 100% to stand out.
So, yeah, I agree.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about networking. Has networking and that sort of thing and building these meaningful connections, has that played a part in your success in entrepreneurship? And if so, I'd like to hear a little bit about it.
Yeah. Networking is sort of the reason why I'm here, that I'm a franchise owner. I was in a lot of different mastermind groups back in the day. I had my previous agency. I met a lot of people through that. Again, and networking, you know, this was networking online. People that I was talking to were across the United States, right? So it wasn't like local networking. But still, there was a lot of great people that I met several years ago. We just had a really great relationship with another agency owners, and just we're going back and forth and what working, what not working. And then a couple of them got picked up by Hyte, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, they left their agency and now they're starting a franchise. I've never heard of that before. And again, talking with them, they grew from not only having a two-person team, but having a fulfillment department of 100 people and, you know, all the systems and processes that I was struggling with at the time, they had it done. And I was like, wow, that sounds really amazing. A couple months later, a recruiter comes my way. And he was, as soon as I saw the Hyte franchise recruiter, I was like, sold. I know what I was getting into. But if I didn't have that network, even if it was online, of people that I've stayed in touch with, talking with them about certain situations, I wouldn't have known that. Now, maybe they would have contacted me anyways, but I was definitely all in when it came my way. So networking is massive. I am now starting to get more involved within my community, getting the Chamber of Commerce locked in and showing up to events. Networking is key. And again, leading to that personalization component. You know, we can post all day on social media, but we have to get out there and actually meet human beings. That's really where that connection goes from. So it's a work in progress for me. networking has been something obviously that got me to this point here, but I'm definitely focusing in on this year of really getting more involved within the community, attending local events, and just again being as much a service I can to others, for sure.
Yeah, and that's another one of those things that, you know, after COVID, that human connection became so important, you know, showing up to conferences, face-to-face meetings. Last year was probably the most I've traveled in a while. And it's just because everyone wanted to meet face-to-face. Everyone's so excited, you know, and they have been for the last couple of years. So what legacy do you hope to leave through your entrepreneurship endeavors?
Legacy. Yeah. I guess my legacy throughout this whole thing is has to do more with family than anything else. I want my family to be in a really great position, but also just, I want my son to be able to see what it's like to be an entrepreneur. Now, if he finds something, a job that he loves and he wants to do that, that's perfectly fine. But it's just that the entrepreneurial life with all the ups and downs that it has, is something that I want him to experience and sort of see. Because I'm a creative person myself. So, you know, if he wants to create whatever he wants to put his mind to and put a business plan behind it and see if it works and maybe fail, learn from that. That's more or less what I want to see from that legacy standpoint. For me personally, you know, I grew up, again, with very straightforward high school, college, graduate, 9 to 5. And there's so much opportunity out there, especially nowadays, for anyone to do anything. I mean, you're seeing 16-year-old kids on YouTube videos, making YouTube videos on gaming, and they're making millions and millions of dollars. So, you know, there's so much endless opportunity. I really want my son to not know that he has to be boxed into something, that he can try to create what it is that he wants to do, and maybe hopefully one day create a job out of it and support his family. So that's ultimately the legacy that, that I want to leave behind, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great legacy. So Logan, for our listeners, where can they find out what you have going on and keep in touch with you?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm very vocal, very vocal on Facebook. You can just message me. I'll chat about anything. Logan Hughes, I have the green background with the goofy face. That's me. And just message me there. I do have a podcast called the Get a Job Podcast, where I like to, you know, interview other entrepreneurs who've all different walks of life, who've been able to create something in their business and really give value and tips to younger people who are maybe looking to make the jump or looking for tips along the line, because, you know, I've certainly been there. So the Get a Job Podcast, you can find that out anywhere it's out. But yeah, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, but shoot me a message on Facebook. We'll definitely connect.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Logan. And thank you to our audience for listening today.
Appreciate it.
Till next time on the Successes Podcast.